Okay, so we finished the topic of how to relate to a spiritual master. Or should we put it this way? We just began the topic. And so we're still contemplating it, thinking about it. And so we enter into the second big headline in this one section, which is having properly relied on a spiritual master, the stages for training our mind. And here there's two basic subdivisions, the first being persuaded to take advantage of our precious human life, and the second, how to take advantage of our precious human life. Okay? So, in this one of being persuaded to take the advantage of our precious human life, here we have to, first of all, recognize what a precious human life is, then talk about what its purpose is, what it can be used for, how it can be meaningful, and third of all, to check out whether it's easy or difficult to get it again. In other words, is this a very rare opportunity, or is it something that to come by easily? Okay, so we'll start here with the beginning, trying to recognize what a precious human life is. So the standard way of teaching this, there's two main things, talking about what we call the eight freedoms, and then the 10 richnesses, or 10 endowments. And so the eight freedoms are talking about eight states that were free from being, okay, and then the 10 richnesses or endowments are 10 qualities that we have to check up if we have. So as we're going through this list of 18, we should think about it in terms of our own life and see, do we have all 18? Don't we have all 18? How can we get some of them? What can they be used for? And so on. Okay? Now remember a few lessons ago I said that according to the old way of making categories, symmetry is stupid and don't expect anything to make sense in the outline. Well, here, this is perfect example. We have 8 freedoms and 10 richnesses. And we're going to go through them, and we're going to do the 8 freedoms first, and you're going to say, fine. And we're going to get to the 10 richnesses, and you say, well, why are these here? Because they're just like the 8 freedoms, except the opposite. Except not all of them are. You know? So, again, don't expect it to be nice Western way of making an outline, okay? There's going to be some points that are going to overlap. There's going to be some repetition, but it's also looking at things from different perspectives, because when we're looking at a freedom, we're seeing that we're free from a bad state. When we're looking at a richness, we're seeing that we have a good state. Okay, so it's two different ways maybe of coming at the same thing when these points are related. Now, I think it's also important before I actually go through these, because having taught this before, I see some of the difficulties that people have with it. And one of the difficulties is that it talks about we're free of, you know, being born as an animal and in the hells and things like that. And we go, huh, what are you talking about? I thought there was only this life. You know, and so this was why I actually gave that whole long talk, remember, the first time I was here, the first group of teachings, about rebirth and cyclic existence and karma and how the mind goes from life to life. Because this is a topic that's kind of assumed in the Tibetan tradition, because everybody grows up believing in rebirth. So we talked about that already. For the new people, there's some big chapters in Open Heart, Clear Mind talking about rebirth and karma and cyclic existence. So you might want to read that and kind of begin to think about it. But sometimes in discussing the perfect human life, the mind gets a little bit rebellious and tough because we're not completely sure that we believe in rebirth. We're not even completely sure if you know, human beings can be reborn as other kinds of living beings, etc., etc. So this is often one sticky point in this meditation for Westerners. Okay, so it might be sticky points for some of you. If it is, join the club. Okay? But also go back and either listen to the tape of the talk about rebirth, do the reading in open heart, clear mind. Recognize that it's going to take you some time to gather conviction about the existence of past and future lives and to gather some feeling about how our mind can be born in many different kinds of bodies. Because one of the big hindrances in thinking that we may have had other lives is because we have such a solid view of who we are now. We feel so settled into this body, so attached to this body, yeah, that really, if we think about it, it's hard to imagine being a baby. Isn't it? I mean, can you imagine being a baby? Can you imagine being this big and not being able to walk? And not being, you know, and peeing in your pants? I mean, we can't even imagine that. We're so concretized in this body. Can you imagine being an old person? You know, there you pee in your catheter. You know, and again, we can't get up and walk around. But I mean, we can't even imagine that. Yeah? So you see, that's just reflective, that's just symptomatic of how concrete we've made our own identity right now. So we can see that that concretization is really a misinterpretation of who we are. Because just within the continuum of this human body, it's been quite different going from a baby to an old person. Okay? So if you think like this, it begins to get you more in the mood to think that you've been capable of living in different kinds of bodies with different abilities. Okay? So that's one sticky point in this meditation. See, I'm telling you all the sticky points before we start, because otherwise you're going to sit there and I'll start and you're all going to... The second thing is a sticky point is that the purpose of this meditation is not to make us proud, okay? We are not sitting here listing all of our own fortunes and good qualities in order to come to the conclusion that we're the best people in the world and we're the superior people, quite, you know, magnificent and compared to all the other slobs. Okay? That's not the purpose of this meditation. We have enough pride already. We don't need to study Dharma to become more proud. Okay? So, if you listen with a certain kind of ear, then you're going to hear this meditation in sense of, well, this meditation's really sounding very discriminatory, like we're putting ourselves up and putting other people down. Okay? That's not the way the Buddha meant this teaching. That's the way that mindset is listening to this teaching. Okay? So just beware of that, because the whole purpose of this meditation is for us to recognize our good qualities and our opportunities and what we have going for us. And by recognizing these things, then we feel very joyful and we come up with some determination to use these things wisely. Now, you see, here's a big difference, okay? We can look at a set of good qualities, and our deluded mind can look at those good qualities and get very proud. And that's why we think that this meditation is encouraging us to be proud and condescending towards other people. Uh-uh. That's the mind that's looking at it. Because we can also look at these same qualities and say, wow, this is fantastic, and really rejoice at those qualities. And so you see, it's two different reactions to the same subject matter. When we're looking at good qualities, we can react with pride, or we can react with a sense of joy combined with a determination to use our opportunity in a wise way. Okay? So it's this latter way that we're aiming at listening to these teachings here. Hey, like I said, you know, we have enough pride already. The Buddha isn't teaching us to be more proud. Nor is the Buddha teaching us to put other people down. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. Okay? Criticizing other people, putting other people down, is a very negative state of mind. Now, this one I find, and I think it's kind of related to our American culture, you know, this is just my guess, maybe you people can give some feedback, but we have this notion of equality, like everything's completely equal, but we're not completely sure what equality means, okay? And we have to make a difference here. I mean, in one way, people are equal. In another way, I mean, just even if we talk in terms of the American Constitution, everybody's equal and everybody gets the same freedoms and the same responsibilities as a citizen. But everybody isn't equal in the sense of, you know, I mean, Steve can't do Laura May's job and Laura May can't do Steve's job because they've been trained differently. Okay? So they're unequal in that respect. Yeah? So we really have to get clear that pointing out distinctions amongst people or amongst groups or even amongst religions, that doesn't mean that we're criticizing one person or group or religion or that we're placing them on different levels. It simply means that things are different. In relative way, things have different characteristics. I mean, chili peppers and apples are the same in being food, but if you carry this thing of equality too far and you say chili peppers and apples are exactly the same, so it doesn't matter which one you bake the pie with, you know, then I'm not sure I'm going to come to your house and eat chili pepper pie. Yeah? Okay? So you see, we have to get very clear that we can use our wisdom mind to make distinctions amongst things, but that doesn't mean that we're criticizing when we're making the distinction. Okay, this is real important. And this relates to this thing we were talking about a few weeks ago about distinctions between amongst religions. Okay? I mean, we have to be able to make distinctions amongst things. You know, an animal is different than a human being. Okay? I mean, they're both equal in being sentient beings and wanting happiness and won't want to suffer, but an animal can't drive a car. You know? And a human being can't pull a cart. You know, not those big heavy ones anyway. So, are we communicating here? Okay? Because otherwise, you know, if we don't understand this, then as I'm going through here and pointing out the distinctions between human beings and other forms of life, or between human beings with certain qualities and other human beings, if you don't understand this, then you might think that we're just getting a little bit, you know, again, proud and critical and putting some people up and other people down. And that's not what's going on. Okay? We're just making distinctions, relative distinctions, about relative reality, and then trying to develop a constructive way of viewing those distinctions. Okay? So as we go through here, if, you know, you have difficulty with it, please let me know. We'll have questions at the end. And then, you know, if somehow this still isn't clear, we can go over some of it, okay?